In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Pio of Pietrelcina, also known as Padre Pio, is a mystical and stigmatized saint whose life puts us in communication with the supernatural world. His life was a continual sacrifice for the salvation of others. Despite so many slanders and offenses he received, he always forgave without holding a grudge against anyone. His enemies even put microphones in his cell and in the hostel to try to discover his supposed immoralities. And he knew how to bear it all with patience, offering it up as a victim for the salvation of the world. He bore the wounds of Christ for 50 years, being a true living Christ. He was a holy priest, and many were converted by confessing to him or attending his mass. God granted him great charisms, like the gift of bilocation, discernment of hearts, prophecy, supernatural perfume, and the gift of working miracles. Padre Pio, from a young age, suffered from many mysterious illnesses, which left doctors astonished as they appeared and disappeared without reasonable cause. From the beginning, the doctor spoke of pulmonary tuberculosis. He often had skyrocketing fevers that would break normal thermometers and leave doctors speechless. Apart from tuberculosis, he had bad colds with a cough, which kept him from sleeping. But it was not only physical pain and slander that made him a living Christ, associated with the passion of the Lord, but also the assaults of the infernal enemy, whom he called Cossack, Bluebeard, or Beelzebub. He presented himself to him in different ways, hit him, threw him off the bed, dragged him across the room, and tempted him to despair. In 1911, while in the Venafro convent, the demon appeared to him in the form of a horrible black cat. Once, several young naked girls appeared, dancing provocatively. Another time, they spat in his face without the demon appearing. Sometimes the demon stunned him with deafening noises. On one occasion, the demon appeared to him in the form of an executioner who flogged him. He also appeared to him in the form of a crucifix or of a young man, a friend of the religious, who had recently visited him. One day, he appeared in the form of his spiritual father and even the provincial father. Another day, he appeared to Padre Pio under the figure of Pope Pius X. Other times, he presented himself as if he were his guardian angel or Saint Francis or the Virgin Mary. Sometimes it was just one, but other times it was many. He recognized them by asking them to repeat with him, "Long live Jesus Christ," which they did not want to repeat. Almost always, after these diabolical apparitions, Jesus, Mary, or his guardian angel appeared to Padre Pio. Something that the devil tremendously disliked was that Father Augustine was his spiritual director. In a letter of October 14, 1912, Padre Pio writes, "The devil did not want me to inform him in the last letter about the war the devil was waging on me. As the devil did not want to hear it, the devil began to suggest to me, 'How you would please Jesus if you broke all relationship with your spiritual father. He is very dangerous for you. He is an object of great distraction for you. Time is very precious, and you should not use it in this dangerous correspondence with your father. Use that time in praying for your health that is in danger. If you continue like this, keep in mind that hell is always open for you.'" Padre Pio himself declared, "One night several threw themselves on top of me and beat me, emitting desperate cries, throwing books, chairs, gloves into the air, and they threatened and cursed me. Since that day, they annoy me every day, but I am not terrified. They wanted to make me understand that I was rejected by God." One day, Padre Pio came down to hear the confessions of the men in the sacristy, and there was only one man dressed in black. He began confession and accused himself of many sins. He never finished. Padre Pio listened to him patiently, but later encouraged him to do penance and pray the act of contrition to not offend Jesus anymore. But when he heard the name of Jesus pronounced, that man disappeared and a kind of tremor shook the sacristy. Padre Pio went to the corridor to ask if they had seen someone leave, but no one had seen it. Then Padre Pio said to himself, "It was him, the monster of Beelzebub." Padre Pio also had to suffer intensely from the apparent abandonment of God. The night of the spirit is a stage of the soul on the way to spiritual marriage, which is the maximum union with God that the soul can achieve on this earth. At this stage, according to St. John of the Cross, the soul suffers from the understanding, great darkness, about the will, great dryness and straits, and in the memory, grave news of his miseries, not finding in anything relief or even thought that consoles him, not even being able to lift his heart to God. It is not possible to explain what the soul suffers at this time. It is very little less than a purgatory. The Lord was preparing him to take a big step, and he had to go through this hard stage of darkness. In June 1918, it was in the middle of the Night of the Spirit. Everything was darkness around him. It seemed to him that he could not bear the weight of divine justice, and he felt crushed by his powerful hand. Tears were his bread, night and day. On June 4th, 1918, he wrote to Father Benito, "I am covered in darkness. I'm looking for my God, but where can I find him? Oh my God, I've lost you and I'm lost. Lord, have you condemned me to live forever away from your face? Where are you? My God, why have you abandoned me? I'm lost, lost in the unknown. I am deprived of everything. I am hungry for the return of God to my soul. Where can I rest my poor heart? I look for it and cannot find it. I touch the heart of the divine prisoner and he does not answer me. What is this? Has my infidelity made him inflexible? Should I give up all hope? Oh my God, I can't say more than why have you abandoned me?" This total darkness had begun on May 30th and ended in some way on August 5th, upon receiving the transverberation, and on September 20th upon receiving the stigmata. They were days of great suffering in which he felt abandoned by God, but they were necessary for his total purification. On January 23rd, 1912, Padre Pio had a transverberation, as he recounted in a letter dated August 26, 1912 to Father Augustine. "Last Friday, August 23rd, 1912, I was in church giving thanks after Mass, when unexpectedly, I felt that my heart was hurt with a fire dart so hot that I thought I was dying. It is completely impossible for me to express this. Could you believe it? The soul, victim of this consolation, was speechless. It seemed to me as if an invisible force were immersing everything of me in fire. My God, what a fire! So sweet! I have felt these transports of love many times, and during them, I have remained as out of this world. But on other occasions, this fire has been less intense. This time, on the contrary, it has been so vehement and so strong that one more moment and my soul would have separated from the body. What a beautiful thing it is to be a victim of love. But at the present, Jesus has withdrawn his fiery dart, but the wound is fatal." Regarding stigmatization, it must be said that since 1910, I already felt the pain of the sores, but they were invisible. They became visible on September 20th, 1918. He wrote to Father Benito on October 22nd, 1918. "It was the morning of the 20th of September. I was in the choir after the celebration of Mass, when I was surprised by a state of calm similar to a sweet dream. My internal and external senses were in an indescribable stillness. A great peace seized me, and while this was happening, I found myself before a mysterious character, similar to the one I saw on the afternoon of August 5th. The only difference was that his feet and hands and his side were running abundantly with blood. The sight of him filled me with terror. I will never know how to explain to myself what I felt in those moments. I felt myself dying and would certainly have died if the Lord had not come to support my heart, which seemed to be going out of my chest. The character's presence disappeared, and then I realized that my hands, feet, and side were pierced and were gushing blood. The wound in the heart is the one that continually emits blood, especially on Thursday afternoon until Saturday morning. My Father, I fear I will bleed to death if the Lord does not hear my groans. Will Jesus grant me this grace? Will he at least remove from me this confusion that I experience because of these external signals?" Padre Pio's sores were circular, like a 2-centimeter diameter coin on his hands and feet, in the center of his hands and feet. The X-shaped wound on the side was 7 centimeters long on one side, and the other side was 4 centimeters long. Father Benito, upon receiving the news of the sores, confidentially communicated it to the Father General of the Capuchins in a letter dated April 24, 1919. But the news went abroad and soon went around the world. Important ecclesiastical and scientific personalities came to visit him. As of May 9, 1919, articles began to appear in different Italian newspapers. The first doctor who visited him and saw his sores was Dr. Luigi Romanelli, on May 15th and 16th, 1919. According to him, the lesions of the sores could not have a natural origin, since the fact constituted an inexplicable phenomenon for human science. The second doctor who visited him was Amico Bignami, a skeptic and rationalist, who wrote in his report of July 26, 1919, "The impression of sincerity that Padre Pio shows prevents me from thinking of a simulation, but without accepting that the sores are of a supernatural character." The third doctor was Dr. Giorgio Festa, who visited him on October 9th and 10th, 1919. He visited him again on July 15th, 1920. On October 5th, 1925, he would examine him again after operating on his inguinal hernia. On that occasion, Padre Pio fainted when he was taken to his cell, and Dr. Festa was able to examine the sores again, noting that the sore on the side appeared fresh and reddish in the shape of a cross, and with slight but evident luminous radiations coming from its edges. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.